crew all season long on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Deep breaths, everybody. Let's all take some deep breaths all together now. In through the nose and out through the mouth. We got a lot to talk about tonight. What a weird 3 days at the ballpark. I just want to talk about baseball, guys. I just want to talk about baseball. An 8-2 win for the Brewers. They snap the losing streak. Great news. Tyler Black makes his big league debut. Great news. Gets two hits in it as well. Joey Weimer robbed a home run today. William Contreras caught his fourth straight runner stealing. Freddy Peralta was one over the minimum. Willy Adames crushed a home run against his former team. The Brewers stole five bases tonight. Hobie Milner and Elvis Peguero were fantastic out of the bullpen. But all of that is getting overshadowed and really lost to the wind because of what went down in the sixth inning tonight. I have never seen what I saw tonight. I can't say I've spent a long time in baseball. I've seen a lot of baseball over my 29 plus years on this planet. I know when I'm seeing something abnormal. And tonight was extremely abnormal. I'm just flabbergasted with the toss, the timing of it, the lack of context, the argument with Murph, the fight, which made things even worse. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. Like, I wanted to begin with all those things that are getting overshadowed tonight, because all we're going to spend our energy on is talking about umpiring and talking about fighting and talking about unwritten rules. I'm sick of having to explain this crap. I want to talk about baseball, and if baseball fans want to talk about baseball, I understand there's a line of like, hey, this is entertainment, this is cool, you know, like baseball being edgy. Yeah, I get that. But when it's at the cause and at the hands of an umpire, that's when it's not cool. In case you're completely clueless of what happened last night, I take you to the scene. Let me set the stage with the context. It's a 3-1 ball game, or 3-0 ball game, I should say, in the third inning. Freddy Peralta is rolling. He has retired each of the first eight batters he's faced. And on a first pitch, ambush, Jose Siri hits a bomb. 450 feet. Pimped it, admired it. You know, dropped the bat with a little bit of emphasis, and then slowly made his way up the line and then did his home run drop. Cool. You're still down by two runs, but cool. Whatever. I'm all for bat flips. I think baseball should be more fun with that. Whatever. It's 3-1. Then the Brewers add on in the bottom of the fifth inning, highlighted by a three-run homer from Willy Adames. So it's 6-1. Freddie is rolling. Freddie has only faced one over the minimum. That's the only hit he has allowed as he enters the sixth. Strikes out the first batter, Jose Caballero, on three pitches. Then he falls behind to Jose Siri. He tries to give him a first-pitch breaky ball, missed outside. Tries to get back, doesn't get it. He took a couple of tight pitches. You know, I don't want to say anything about the strike zone there. I don't think he was getting squeezed or anything like that. He missed his spot a couple of times. But hey, it's 3-0. Siri can be white hot and ice cold, and you know, you want to be careful. It's still, you know, a lot going on there. And on a 3-0 pitch, a fastball missed in, and it missed in and hit him in the rear end. I don't want to say that, oh, that was an unwritten, yeah, he hit him in the tush, end it, be all. Because you know what? Quite frankly, it probably was. But I don't want to attach my name on it unless I'm 100% certain. And I'm not 100% certain. But let's play a game here. 3-0 with a fastball in a 6-1 ball game to the tush. If there's ever a time to send a message to say, hey man, I didn't like what you did there. Congrats on the homer, but I'm going to put you on first base. Don't do that to me again. You're the only guy who's got a hit off me today. Settled it between the lines. Okay? Siri didn't take exception to it at the moment. He was just going to take his base. I think baseball people knew immediately in the moment, ooh, that was a little weird, but let's see what Chris Guccione says. And I would have assumed if Chris Guccione was going to catch on to what was happening, and we don't know the context between Peralta and Siri, Peralta and or Siri and Contreras. We don't know if there's other context there yet. But if I'm Chris Guccione, and if my radar is up, I'm like, ooh, wait, that was weird. Just give warnings. Just give warnings. But Guccione's radar went up and said, oh, wait, he threw at him. Let me bring my umpires together and make sure I'm not crazy. And after everything with the chaos yesterday with the interference call, which I put my name to, I think they got that call right. I know Pat Murphy and some of the Brewers don't agree, but I think they got that call right. But they get together, and this is where I'm most frustrated. They were in agreement that Chris Guccione, who's the crew chief, mind you, behind the plate today, was able to say, I think he threw at him. None of you guys are going to overrule me. I'm going to throw him out of this game. Throws out Freddie Peralta, who's in the middle of a gem. Freddie kept his composure. William Contreras and the rest of the infield's like, what is going on? Are you serious? You got to give warnings. Because if you gave a warning there, it's over. And the seventh inning doesn't happen. Rather, the eighth inning, I beg your pardon. When the fight happened. If you give warnings right there, Abner Uribe is not facing a suspension. You don't have a fight. You don't risk injury to the guys we paid to see. Give the warning. Live to fight another day. If you think he did it on purpose and it was causing bodily injury, just give the warning if you're not 100% sure. And Guccione clearly thinks he absolutely threw at him. I know the beat reporters have efforted a pool report from Chris Guccione. We will await on that report tonight as well. But I haven't even... So obviously Freddie gets tossed. Pat Murphy comes out to argue. Pat Murphy gets tossed because what the heck. And then from what that went on, you know, we've all heard the phrase, get your money's worth. Pat Murphy was getting his money's worth, and he has the right to. His ace, with a roll of a day, I mean, he could have given 7-8 innings today. And with how dreaded the bullpen has been and how much overworked they have been lately, they needed that. They needed Freddie to go long today. So now he's getting tossed in the sixth inning of a five-run game with 60-something pitches. So Murphy's like, you're making an impact on this game now, and I'm going to make sure that you make that message heard. And Chris Guccione getting back in his face. Think about it. The crew chief is normally the guy that comes over to pull an umpire back that's in an argument with a player or a manager. Who's pulling the crew chief back? Ricky Weeks is pulling Pat Murphy back. Chris Guccione kept going. He kept going. That's where it was abnormal for me. They bumped chest to chest, and it wasn't Pat's initiation. It was Guccione's initiation. I was flabbergasted watching that live. I do want to backtrack and say, look, we've all had bad days. Every single umpire, every single player, every single manager, every single pencil pusher, it does not matter. We have all had bad days. I feel bad for umpires right now that every single mistake they are making right now is being scrutinized under the strongest microscope known to man. I truly feel bad. I think what fans are struggling to see right now is accountability, especially with the crap that went down with Hunter Wendelstedt last week in the Yankee Stadium, throwing out Aaron Boone because of what a fan said, and then doubling down on his comments after. I don't want to put Guccione in that category until I see his comments. But if Chris Guccione doubles down today, oh man, baseball will have a serious problem on its hands. And this isn't even about Angel Hernandez's strike zone or CB Buckner's demeanor or anything of that sort. This isn't anything about balls, strikes, results. This is about another judgment and an umpire feeling like they came to watch him. And that's an unfair assessment. Let me backtrack on that. It's so frustrating because the game is being played by the best athletes we've ever seen play it. Freddie Peralta was on fire. You talk to any player in either one of those dugouts. If a warning was issued, that's it. It's over. Done. Don't have to worry about it again. Message sent. Thank you very much. All good. Learn your lesson. Move on. But it wasn't. And the guys that we rely on to keep the game in check and to keep things in order, lost order tonight. And that's how in the eighth inning, after Jose Ziri grounds out to first on a little flip to Uribe, Uribe steps on the bag, and I will also call out Abner here. Abner said the first word and threw the first punch. That's not going to look pretty in an investigation. But again, Abner doesn't do that if there's warnings. If there's already been made clear, don't do anything. But it was made available to do so because Chris Guccione lost control of the game and he lost the authority of the game, the job that he was supposed to do. I just frustrated, man. I'm frustrated because I love this sport so much. So much. And we keep tearing ourselves out from within. We're fighting with umpires who are accurate 95% of the time. Out of 200 pitches thrown at a game, they're right on 190 of them. But we're calling out the 10 pitches. Oh my God, how do you miss that? There are some better than others and some worse than others. I get that. They have hard jobs. And now we have high-speed cameras and 4K, 60 frames, 120, 240. It is every single mistake they make is under a microscope and blasted to the world. Same with NBA officials. Same with NFL officials. Try to separate yourself from the noise and understand what's simply a mistake and what's more than that. And I think tonight was more than that. Chris Guccione made a mistake, and it impacted the Brewers in that they're not going to have Abner Uribe for a couple of weeks. I would imagine with a suspension and a hefty fine. I'm sure Jose Siri will miss a couple games. Pat Murphy might have a fine. I hope not. He doesn't deserve one. It's just so frustrating. I want to hear the fans on this. I'm getting worked up again. 1-800-990-3776. Again, 1-800-990-3776. If you want to join us, let me get to a couple of texts here. I'm going to focus on the positives. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. Tyler Black, Freddie Peralta, Joey Weimer. The offense back in a rhythm and a W. I'll reserve my comments on the rest as I'm still cooling down. You're always level-headed. I don't think I was level-headed so far earlier today. We want Churio, Turan, Contreras, and Adames in the top four. Love the speed at the top. From Tina and Doug. I don't know if I want Churio on the top of the order right now. I love what we saw from him tonight, but still need to get things going. David and Superior. Brewers tied up against the Yanks to get back in it. Umps get involved. Brewers had a chance to tie it and win it last night. Umps get involved. Brewers pull away from the Rays. Freddie is dealing, and things finally going their way. Umps get involved. Whether the umpires made the correct calls or not, it's no wonder why things blew over like they did in the eighth. I think this team is frustrated with these umpires, and so am I. Again, that one from David in Superior. Brian and Tosa. Great win tonight. Great to see Tyler Black get his first major league hit and follow it up with another hit that set up the Adames at-bat for the three-run homer. That had to feel good coming against his former team. What's with this umpiring crew? Is there any track record with any of these umpires having a history of bad calls? Here's to hoping we win the series tomorrow. And as I said last week, a 3-3 homestand would be considered a success. I would hope to be better than 3-3, but that's what they're faced with right now after losing a series. Let me get to the phone lines here before we take our first break. Calvin in Geneva, Illinois. Calvin, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Don, thanks for taking my call, man. I love your positivity to start the broadcast here tonight. And I totally agree. I hope that this umpiring fiasco doesn't, give too much of a black eye to what's been a really fun Brewers team to watch, minus a couple of games recently. But, to your point about the situation in New York with the Yankees last week with Aaron Boone getting tossed from the game without saying a word, and then, obviously the Brewers have been a victim of some tough officiating from the umpires this week. Obviously, the slide from Aaron Judge was a bad one. And, you mentioned, is this, a streak of bad calls, or is this just a bad day or whatever it might be? And, it was a good thing to see that the umpires came out and admitted their mistake when they got the call wrong with the Aaron Judge slide. It's good to see that. But in situations like tonight, like you mentioned, you don't give a warning in what's been a pretty harmless game, minus, a little bit of a stare down or an admiration on that home run from Siri. But, Dom, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but, I know that the umpire union is very, very powerful. And I know that that's kind of where it becomes a tough spot for the MLB to step in and address the issue. But at what point does it become something that either the league or the MLBPA or anybody can do something about and at least address? I mean, I feel like this has been just something that has been talked about by networks and fans and beat reporters and things like that. But to say the least, it's been an umpiring epidemic, I feel like, this year, and it's frustrating to watch. You know, you mentioned too, you pay money to go watch the players play, the guys that provide the best entertainment. And recently, not just with Brewers, but in the league, it just feels like the umpires are taken away from that experience that we as fans want to experience. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I'd love to hear from you what you think.
You threw a lot at me there, Calvin, but I appreciate you taking the time to give us a ring here tonight. Let me just start with the umpire stuff. Umpires have hard jobs, man. They have really hard jobs. Again, like I said, every mistake is under the biggest microscope on the planet. But one way that they can, like, I think back to, I know they owned it on Saturday after the judge, or Sunday after the judge sliding mitt thing, whatever. But think back to the Galarraga perfect game that wasn't. Why did we enamor ourselves with Jim Joyce? Jim Joyce was already a damn good umpire before all that happened. And now, unfortunately, all anybody's ever going to know him for is blowing the call on the Galarraga perfect game. But you know why we loved Jim Joyce? Is because he had accountability. He owned it. He said, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. Now, not every game's a perfect game, and the final out being on the 27th out, that sort of thing. What I hope is when I see these quotes from Chris Guccione tonight, that he owns it and explains it and has a side of the story that makes sense. But like I said, with Hunter Windelstad last week at Yankee Stadium, doubling down on his comments, who's a longtime MLB umpire, just can't happen. It just can't happen. We miss the Tom Hallions. I mean, just like the guys that got it, you know, that just get it. Emotions run high. Guys make mistakes too. I think you pull umpires in baseball, even if Freddie was throwing at him on purpose. You pull umpires in baseball, you give the warnings, it's settled between the lines, and we move on. Because forever we've been told, don't throw at his head, don't throw at his ribs, don't do any of that. If you're going to throw at a guy, throw at his backside, and he threw at his backside. But oh wait, now he can't throw at his backside? What are we doing? What's the problem here? Major League Baseball actually posted the fight. Okay, let me backtrack here. Major League Baseball, official Instagram account, posted a fight between two of its teams. Back, you know, go back 5 years, that would have never happened. They would try to hide it. Oh, no, just, not, never, no, what are you talking about? That didn't happen. They're leaning into it, too. But the context that they failed to put into that fight is because it was caused by a lack of judgment from an umpire. So something's got to give. I'm a fan of union strength. I'm a member of a union. I'm an IATSE, okay? So I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth here. The umpire union is strong. The players union is strong. That's not going to change anytime soon. It's just not. But you would hope that there's pressure from within to get things right. I got to take a break. Craig Kishon is getting us going here in just a moment. This is a weird night. I just want to talk about baseball, and I promise we will talk about baseball tonight. But I do want to get Craig's final thoughts on this, and we'll finally all move on together. If you want to text in, if you want to call in, again, the phone number is 1-800-990-3776, 1-800-990-3776. Brewers win 8-2, but a whole lot else happened. Stay with us here on ESPN Milwaukee. Welcome back. We are going to get to baseball, I promise. I'm just following some comments here coming out of the clubhouse. Both Freddy Peralta and Abner Uribe have spoke to the media. Both have been coming from both sides. I'm also reading Tampa Bay Times and Mark Tompkin. Here's what Jose Siri had to say with the fight breaking out with him and Uribe. Siri said that Uribe brushed him with his shoulder when walking by him at first. Siri said he asked why, and Uribe said because he felt like it, and then he took a swing at Siri. Now, that I think that misses a bark back from Siri as well, because I was just down in Pat Murphy's press conference, and he said he wasn't going to make a comment. He towed the line and just said, it's not because I'm trying to lawyer up. It's just because I feel like to represent the Brewers, I just want to let everything calm down before I make a judgment or make a statement. You know, you're reading between lines. You don't want to have him say something he regrets and an investigation is going to ensue. But one thing he did mention is, I hope there's audio. I thought that was a really interesting line, because that implies something was said from Siri, from somebody to somebody. And we'll learn more here in the next couple of days, I imagine. But there's no defending Uribe in this, unfortunately. I there's no reason to do that. He's got to learn to keep his emotions in check. Didn't keep his emotions in check on Sunday after the Aaron Judge slide. Didn't keep his emotions in check tonight. We've talked about, you know, the holster thing that he does, and it's a little much sometimes. There's a line, and he crossed it tonight. I mean, he sprinted past it, quite frankly, tonight. So that can't happen. 100% cannot happen for Amir Uribe. But the comments from Freddie Peralta really had me interested, because Freddie said, I had no reason to hit him. And he's absolutely right. No reason to hit him. If he hit him on purpose, whatever. Give the warnings. A 3-0 count on a fastball that missed in. And Freddie also talked about, you know, he was asked, did you take exception to what Siri did around the bases? He said, how many home runs have I given up? I've been in the league for 7 years. I give up home runs. I've seen it all the time. I've seen Siri. He's been doing that his whole career. It didn't bother me at all. And quite frankly, let's say you are throwing at somebody. Just get it over with. You're not gonna do it on a 3-0. And, you know, then you can say, well, Dom, it's because he's masking it there. He's trying to make you think that he didn't do it on purpose. I'm just sick of having to break down the unwritten rules and everything. And Craig Kashan's joining us now. Look, I've broken it down every way that I can of what happened. I went on an impassioned plea to just, can we be baseball fans again and not, you know, having to break down all of this extra crap and all these extracurriculars right now? But Craig, I said, I haven't been on this earth very long, 29 years. I've seen a lot of baseball. I haven't seen anything like we saw tonight.
Well, I think last night when I was on the show with you, I told you I had never seen umpires with a greater influence in back-to-back games as we saw with the, you know, over the weekend and stuff, and then last night. And then I'm thinking, how in the world could we have umpire gate continue for a third straight day? It's just really hard for me not to circle back to Chris Guccione, being the one who is largely responsible for what happened tonight. I can't get around that thought, that if you are to look for somebody to point the finger at, it's got to be him. And I will say this, Dom, we know that Freddie Peralta and Pat Murphy and Abner Uribe, potentially Siri as well, I would imagine he will, all face a suspension, and for some of these guys, it could be a lengthy one, a number of games. I'm not 100% sure, but I've got to believe that umpire Chris Guccione should also be facing the same once this is thoroughly investigated by Major League Baseball to find out what in the world was going on with a no warning situation. The heated verbal back and forth with the manager, that the instigating role he almost took to keep that back and forth going is ridiculous. So we can all blame players for losing their cool and stuff. How about a guy that's been around for a long time in this league pulling this stunt? I don't know what else to call it. It was a stunt, and it fired up a lot of things that were completely unnecessary here. And it put players at risk of injury in multiple occasions here, starting with the fact that you toss out the starting pitcher in Peralta, and now you're saying, well, bring in somebody from the bullpen who's clearly no one's on, it's not on anybody's mind that anybody's coming in here. You know, what if they got injured warming up? What if they got injured because they were pitching in a situation that they, you know what I mean? I mean, this is this is just unbelievable, and I can't help but go back to that scenario with Chris Guccione.
And to your point about the player health with the bullpen, furthermore, there was literally no reason for anybody to be up. In fact, I bet some guys in the bullpen were thinking, ooh, we might have the night off tonight with the way that Freddie's going right
now. Absolutely. You know,
He had gotten 16 outs on what ended up being 62 pitches at the time. 16 outs on 62 pitches. And you're thinking, oh, I got my feet up today. We're finally getting another breather. We needed this. And we got the off day on Thursday and a massive series coming up with the Cubs. Oh, man. Freddie, what an ace. Thank you. Four pitches later. Oh, my God. Me? I got to get in. Elvis Piguero. I got. Okay, I'll go. What are we like? Ugh. You're getting me mad again, Craig. I thought I had calmed down.
I know it, and it's, you know, I've got my Apple Watch on, and it's blowing up with my heart rate here right now, which has been going on for like 2 hours, it seems like. But I mean, but okay, there's the bullpen thing with the health, and even more so, I just knew that this game was not over when it came to any type of an escalation now, because now it was like, oh, wait a second, you were throwing at us now. Okay, we got Peralta out of the game. You know, now everyone's kind of on pins and needles a little bit in a lot of way. And then when fights break out, when guys are trying to physically keep guys away from each other, you know, guys fall down. We saw guys trip. Anything could happen that would be utterly ridiculous and uncalled for. Because of what started with that sixth inning decision.
I agree. It's just wild. A couple of texts that have come in on the WTMJ side. Reminder, we're on ESPN Milwaukee, so the phone number there is 1-800-990-3776, 1-800-990-3776. Do umpires get suspensions? The answer to that, unfortunately, is not publicly. Mostly no. It has to be really egregious. I wonder if tonight was worth it. I said this in the first segment before you joined, Craig. I've never seen, you know, the manager being pulled back by his associate, you know, his bench coach in Ricky Weeks. No one's pulling back the crew chief. Why does he get to do that? You know, none of the other umpires stepped into their pull Chris Guccione back, and they're chest to chest bumping. And it wasn't Pat Murphy initiating the bumping. Okay, Chris Guccione is going to be at third base tomorrow. We know that. Okay, and he is going to get loudly booed when they get announced to walk into the ballpark tomorrow. But Max Scherzer had some really interesting quotes earlier this week while he was on rehab assignment down at AAA dealing with the automated strike zone, and anyone wants to ask about that and the future of robot umpires. He says, look, we're only paying attention to the worst umpires. And it's a reminder, you only notice the bad ones. You only know Chris Guccione's name because of what happened tonight and last night. You only know Angel Hernandez because of his history. You only knew Joe West because of his history, not just because he has the most games umpired of all time. You only know C.B. Buckner because of his history, right? This is the job, right? It's just he wants them to be a ranking where it's like, all right, you can get relegated back to the minor leagues, and that'll get guys focused real quick, which the union would never do, obviously. But like the word that I kept bringing up in the first segment was accountability. I just feel like there's a chance for more public accountability from the umpires. The NBA admits when they get calls wrong proactively. They have that Twitter account where they're explaining the rules and they're telling things what's going on. The NFL has started to do that as well. We have ex-officials in the booth explaining things like, oh, he got this one wrong and this, that, and the other. Baseball, oh, no, we can't have them turn on the microphone to explain anything. Oh, no, we can't do that. Let's get this right. Every other sport does it. Why can't we get this right?
Yeah, I can't agree more. It is frustrating. We didn't know who was officially kicked out of the game in that eighth inning brawl either, which was, you know, make an announcement. I mean, this stuff is so simple, and I don't get it. And here's the other thing. I I don't know. Is it 100%? You're 100% that no umpire has ever been suspended before.
I'm sure they have. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
It seems to me that it's happened before, and I don't know exactly the scenario, but when you mess up so badly, it's a really, really bad look for baseball to allow more games that could potentially be like this now, that you could get kicked out of a game if you're a pitcher for hitting a batter because the umpire says to the pitcher, Freddie Peralta, you're out of here. That was intentionally. He said it to Murphy. We read lips. We know it. He said he hit him on purpose. How does he know that? So, I don't know. We could go on and on. Is this going to be a three-hour show? Let's do it.
I do want to talk about baseball. So give me your final, like, okay, let's make sure this doesn't carry over tomorrow. I don't think it will. Abner's about to be on a suspended list, and so is Jose Siri. Maybe they'll appeal. Who knows how long that investigation is going to take. But I hope that there's no reason for warnings tomorrow because the fight ended it. There's no reason for warnings tomorrow. I don't think anything else is going to happen. But I'm just out of gas on this, man. I just can't continue to sit here and watch my favorite sport tear itself from within. And there's an opportunity to fix it. There really is. We're only paying attention to the bad ones. There are good ones out there. It's just emotions run hot. And Pat Murphy had a great quote in postgame.
Sure,
your emotions are like fire. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. It can heat your house, and it can burn down your house. And that applies not just to the players and coaches, but to the umpires. And I think Chris Cuccioni just had the emotions get the best of him, and that's how I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. I agree with you on that. I don't know, and I don't care at this point whether they issue warnings off the start or not. I just know this. Cuccioni is going to be over at third base, and for three consecutive days, we have seen umpires make decisions during our games that have been just completely abnormal. And so who knows what tomorrow holds.
It's going to be wild. Let's actually talk
coming up on Thursday.
No kidding. Yeah. Let's actually talk about baseball in our next segment. I said at the top of the show, I just listed off the things that are getting overshadowed and lower down into the C block in this game. But let's talk about some of those things coming up next. You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings here on ESPN Milwaukee. Let's talk about baseball now. As we do so, reminder that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows that hit out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Okay, Craig, there was a lot of good today, and let's just get a headline out of the way here, too, that I haven't even mentioned yet. Gary Sanchez exited this game in the first inning for right hamstring tightness, trying to beat out a double play ball, which he did do, and it led to Tyler Black getting into the game today. He was not in the starting lineup, but Gary had an MRI. They don't have the results yet on that. Just reporting and being the middleman here, Eric Haas was removed from the game in Nashville. He was the starting catcher for Robert Gasser tonight, and he was removed from the game in the fourth inning. So he could be on his way here tomorrow just in case they need somebody. And this was a good point raised by Vinny Rattino over on the Bally Sports side. If anything further had happened, you know, after the ejection to Freddie and everything, the Brewers didn't have another catcher if something happened to William. You know, if they have tried to get retribution and throw at William and something bad happens, the Brewers didn't have another catcher. So it could have gotten really bad. And another reason to get mad at Chris Cuccioni, I'm getting worked up again, but hey, we got to worry about having a backup catcher now.
Yeah, and, you know, Contreras, I can't remember what it was, a foul back to the backstop. I think he picked up the ball and was dead. It was a dead ball, of course, and he threw it up behind the backstop into the second deck. Now, he could have been ejected from the game for doing that, and so that's what Vinny's talking about when he brought up that point. What if something happened to William like that? Now, everyone's playing, you know, with fire and emotions like you were talking about in the last segment. And clearly that is part of the carryover too. So thankfully, nothing bad happened to Contreras there, that's for sure. But it sounds like Haas is going to be needed here starting tomorrow.
And, you know, day game after a night game, who knows if William was even supposed to be in the lineup tomorrow, get the double day off. Maybe now he has to be the DH or something like that. Maybe he still gets the day off. But let's get to Tyler Black, though. Holy cow, what a debut. Two hits. First AB is a double to left center field. Tyler Black showed you exactly the kind of guy he's going to be this season. He was going to put bat to ball. He's going to spray it to all fields. And he's not going to swing and miss. He didn't swing and miss once tonight. He is, he's got some serious eye. It's really impressive to see, and I'm so happy for him and his family who were able to be here for this moment. Tyler Black, another one of the freshmen who's arrived, and the youngest team in baseball just got a little younger.
Yep, and you know, the other thing that I pay attention to with guys that can really hit, like Tyler Black, just starting with him, obviously, just how that ball comes off the bat, what it sounds like, and what kind of a drive that he can put together, and that first double he hit was tailing away from the center fielder out there in left center and ends up going off his glove. But I mean, bring me more of that. Bring me more of that style. He almost hit a home run to right field as well. So he's an impressionable young man when it comes to, you know, first game right out of the gates, pressed into duty. When Sanchez goes down, and you know, he's doing all this early off left-handed pitching too. So kudos to him. I can't wait to see him play more. He reminds me just look-wise in the batter's box and everything of Garrett Mitchell. Get him healthy, and we may have the new Twin Tower power going on the left side of the plate for Milwaukee.
This is a team that you can start to see it form now. And we asked Pat Murphy about it today pregame of just like, I mean, was there ever a point, you know, in spring training that you would imagine that all of these guys would be up at the same time, right? That the fact that you've got Tyler Black now up, you've got Joey Weimer in the starting lineup today, you've got Terang making his quantum leap, you've got Churio in the starting lineup, you've got Ortiz in the starting lineup, you got Perkins in the starting lineup. All of this youth, they have the youngest average batter age in baseball. They're going to go through ruts, and here they are. They popped 8 runs today, highlighted by their pillar, one of their pillars in Willy Adames, but they did it with a variety of ways. They did it with 5 stolen bases. They did it with a really high-quality level of play today that Tyler Black looked like he'd been in the show for 3-4 years. Like, no big deal. It's just another game, and I loved his comments pregame, right? Just another game. Ready to go. Same game here as it is in AAA. That's a guy that gets it, man. He's locked in, ready to go.
Well, and it's the same attitude that we've seen with everybody else. Yes, all the things that you mentioned with just the ability, but just mentally being strong, being smart, playing even keel. I mean, we even see this, you know, with Dunn, and we didn't expect Dunn to be here. We've seen it a lot with Blake Perkins this year, even more than last year, in my opinion, as well. We've seen it with Jackson Churio. These guys are unfazed. They're up here because they know they're good and they deserve to be here, and they're going to play the game just the way they grew up playing it, and at every level. And it's fun to watch for these guys because they're all so versatile defensively, and they're also versatile offensively, that they can steal bases. They're quick. They've got some power. They can hit the other way. They can bunt. They can put pressure on pitchers. This is fun stuff to watch. This has been, you know, a long time in the making, but with some of these guys that were only drafted, you know, Tyler Black was only drafted a couple of years ago or 3 years ago, but I mean, college experience, these college guys that the Brewers went after, they're fitting in very nicely here right now, to say the least.
I also want to talk real quick about Bryce Terang and this quantum leap. And we've said it plenty here in the first month of the season as this ends April. But Bryce Terang is backing up his manager, man. Holy cow, what a first month. I will put my hand up here, and I will say when When Pat Murphy declared Bryce Turang his opening day second baseman, and I know he wasn't technically the opening day second baseman because they faced a lefty, but he's played the lion's share of games at second base. That when Pat Murphy declared that on March 12th, I was like, really? You're already calling it? Like, I mean, I know he put on the good weight and you know, spring training, but the fact that Bryce Turang has arrived to the big leagues with his approach, he has as many stolen bases as strikeouts, Craig. If I had told you that sentence last season, you'd be like, no way. He has 14 stolen bases, 14 strikeouts, 10 walks. He's hitting .312, and he's batting 7th, 8th, and today he got two hits off of a lefty. This is a quantum leap. I will put my hand up and say, you know what? I didn't believe you, Murph, but now I do.
And it would be just a shocker if for some reason Bryce ever returned to something like we saw last year. And that was only his first year in the league. I think he has arrived. I think you're absolutely right. The confidence he is playing with, this is definitely not the same Bryce Turang as a year ago. It's been fun to watch. He's such a competitor out there at second base. Nothing's going to get past him. We all know that. But just the role that he plays, no matter where he is in the batting order, he's going to take that extra base. We saw it tonight, taking that extra base. He's going to get from first to third in a hurry. Not afraid to steal third. All these things that we're talking about here with Bryce Turang I love to see the guy play, and I just think he is all about this fan base here too. I know that they get a kick out of guys that just seem to fit into the city and the environment, and he certainly seems to fit so many molds here. That's really positive.
Okay, I know. So we're going to talk about baseball in this segment. I wanted to let you go. We just got the pool report. Do you care to stick around for the pool report, or do you want me to send you home?
No, I'll stick around for it.
All right, so here's the pool report, and then we'll react to it and move on with the show. This is courtesy of Adam McAlvey of MLB.com. He was the pool reporter. What was the process that led to Freddie Peralta getting ejected? And here is crew chief Chris Guccione. So Siri hit a home run, a pretty good home run. Well, that doesn't matter. Don't love that being the start of it. He hit a home run in the top of the third, and it was a first pitch home run. So, okay, he ran the bases, whatever, and nothing really was said that we noticed. Then you go to the sixth inning, a 3-0 count, and the pitch that hit Siri went right at him. You put what previously happened in the game together, and we get together as a crew, and we discuss all the events, and we determined as a crew that Peralta was intentionally throwing at Siri. And with that comes an ejection. That's really the process, end quote. There's more here as well, but I just want to react to that first one is there, that the crew seemingly is in agreement, or at least in the eyes of Guccione, that Freddie Peralta threw at him on purpose and it warranted an ejection. I don't love hearing that. Baseball people know that a warning would have ended it.
I don't get. Okay, Siri came up for the first time in the third inning and hit a home run. First pitch. Okay, so what's there's nothing happening after that. There's nothing happening during his trot. I mean, you can stare down all you want. That's part of what players do right now, whether they're celebrating their home run or you're the pitcher and you're pissed off. I don't understand how that led to them saying all the things that we put together from that home run up until now. A few pitches, one pitch, I don't get that at all. Am I wrong?
I agree with you entirely. And the 2-0 pitch missed downstairs, missed his spot terribly. The 1-0 pitch missed inside as well. And no one even batted an eye at the 1-0 pitch missing inside. Literally nobody batted an eye at it. That's crazy. Let me continue with the rest of the pool report here. Was there anything notable between Siri and Peralta as Siri rounded the bases after his home run? This is Chris Guccione. Quote, I didn't see anything. I don't think the crew saw anything. We haven't really digested the video yet. There's so much stuff that goes on the field, and once we digest the video and do all that, then ... Quote, was there anything, a question here from Adam, was there anything in the other two hit-by-pitches in the game that struck you? Quote from Guccione, no, they were breaking balls. There was no intent there that I felt or we felt as a crew. There was no intent there anywhere. That's on the other hit-by-pitches in the game. That was the hit-by-pitch in the fifth inning when he clipped Harold Ramirez on a 2-2 breaking ball. And in the bottom of the fifth inning, Rhys Hoskins got hit on a 2-2 breaking ball. Again, context. Wow, what a theory. And to be clear, this is from the Pool Report, and to be clear, there were no warnings issued. No warnings, no. Final quote here. Understanding that it is the umpire's discretion to eject a pitcher, even if there are no previous warnings issued, can you clarify your thinking on that scenario? And again, here is crew chief Chris Guccione. There are three options. You can do nothing, you can warn, and you can eject. Those are our three options. In this situation, where we got together as a crew and determined that it was intentional, our only option is to eject in this situation. If there is a situation where you think that warnings are going to be sufficient, then you can issue warnings. Yeah, you can do one of those three things. End quote, end report.
Wow.
They think they got it right.
Wow. 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 I am very surprised by that reaction. Very surprised by that reaction. Very surprised by that reaction.
I think you could pull both clubhouses. I really believe this. All 26 guys on the active roster, all eight coaches or whatever. So what would that be? 34, 68 people, baseball people, directly impacted in this game. If you had given a warning after that Freddy Peralta, Jose Siri hit by pitch, if you had given warnings there, there would be a few guys chuckle. People like, all right, I get it, whatever. And the game would go on like nothing ever happened. And we're talking about a Freddy Peralta eight-inning gem, and we're talking about a big Brewers victory, and what a great game. And, man, that was a bomb that Siri hit, right? Man, that was cool. And we all move on. But nope, we don't get to do that.
No, you don't. And you just have to wonder Freddy Peralta's been around for a while. If you're in this game as an umpire following the game, you should know who's out on the mound, his personality, his history. Freddy's a good guy. I mean, he doesn't have any bad history for things like this. So things like that, when you piece it all together and you say you have your three options and one of them is, oh yeah, that was intentional. And you don't know that 100% to make that type of reaction and turn the game on a dime like that is just absolutely stunning to me. I just can't recall umpires doing that very often in the past. That's for sure. And in recent memory for that matter. So this is a stunner to me. And the context that was provided in the answers is just, it just doesn't add up. Let's just put it that way. None of those scenarios, according to Chris Guccione after the game, add up to intent to hit an ejection that quickly. It just doesn't make sense.
I agree. I mean, he admitted it in there saying like, oh, no, the other two didn't impact the game at all. Those were breaking balls. No, we didn't hear him say anything rounding the bases. No, we didn't notice anything abnormal in the at-bat. No, but yeah, he was definitely throwing at him. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all.
Doesn't make sense. Tomorrow, going for a series win, Colin Ray, he's been solid. I'm excited to see a noon game tomorrow with Colin Ray on the mound and finally get to another off day before the big bad Cubbies are the opponent coming up this weekend. We'll get you on a positive note here. Colin Ray, he's been great, and I'm really excited to see him pitch tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's kind of in the same situation Freddie was coming into this one. He was hit a little bit hard in his last start, but no decision against the Yankees on Friday night, and his team came and rallied and won. The team wins when Colin Ray and Freddy Peralta are on the hill, and that's the good part. And Colin Ray doesn't usually have back-to-back games, at least at this point, where you know he gets hit hard. And I'm not even sure he was hit hard on Friday night, but he gave up five earned runs, which is a little bit out of character for him. But he's in store for, you know, five or six really hopefully solid innings tomorrow. Keep this Tampa Bay offense down the way it was when they came in here and hopefully get a series win tomorrow. I think they're going to be in good shape for that for sure behind Ray.
I'm ready to see it. This should be a fun one tomorrow. Craig Kishon, I thank you so much, man. What a night. What a weird night. But sleep fast, man. Hopefully nothing crazy happens tomorrow because we don't have a show tomorrow. But thank you, as always, for bringing everything that you bring to the table, my friend. And Can we just get a normal game tomorrow, please? Please?
Oh, please. Please. And a day off Thursday. Let's do it. Thanks, Dom. I'll see you tomorrow at the ballpark.
Thank you so much, Craig Kishon. I owe that man something. I owe that man lots of beverages. We're going to take a break. We're way behind schedule right now. Longer show than usual. Take a breather. We're going to come back. I got to play some Pat Murphy audio. There are highlights to play. Stay with us. Brewers Extra Innings on ESPN Milwaukee.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Let's hear from some of the players involved with this. Well, I mean, player, but manager, Pat Murphy, of course. I don't want to play his full comments tonight because we are going long, and not all of the comments were about what happened, and he also kind of declined. So we'll get to that in a moment. But I referenced this quote earlier about that emotions are like fire, and I really liked it, and it really does apply to what Abner went through tonight with the fight with Jose Siri. Because, look, Abner made a mistake, and he's going to have to own that. And he is going to be suspended for it. But here's what Pat Murphy had to say about emotions being like fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a learning experience. Like I always say, we're all under construction, and this is no different. You know, you learn from it. A certain part of the competitive nature is good, but to house your emotions, you know, is really important. You kind of use your emotions like you use fire. And if you use fire correctly, it can be a really valuable thing for you. You know, heat your home, and you can cook with it. And if you don't learn to control it, just like your emotions, you can burn your house down or get burnt, you know. So you have to learn to control it.
You have to. That's all you can do. And Abner's going to have to learn how to do that in the future. But as far as Freddie getting tossed and the ensuing injection, that's back-to-back games that he's been ejected now, Murph was kind of walking on eggshells. He didn't want to say anything that he didn't want to regret in the future. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, I think it's best if I just don't say anything right now. I mean, that's the best way. I'm not trying to lawyer up or anything like that. I think it's best if we just leave it. There'll be a lot of commentary on it. I'm sure the league will look at it fully. I hope they get to look at it. I hope they have an audio of the thing, and then we'll just see what happens.
That's all you can really say. He did talk about Bryce Terang having a good game. He talked about how proud he was of the bullpen, of the guys that came out in the way that they did, coming in cold and getting the outs that he asked them to get. That was definitely an unsung hero of tonight's game, that Elvis Peguero and Hobie Milner were able to get through the 6th and 7th and 8th innings together, and then Thiago had the 9th inning. But that Milner had to come in cold after Uribe faced one batter and threw, like, what, two pitches after the fight with Siri. So kudos to Elvis and kudos to Hobie, because that stuff plays in a long time. And if you want to look ahead now, if you want to think about roster, you know, we already mentioned Gary Sanchez being injured. Don't know if there needs to be a move for him. But let's say, you know, a suspension comes down. We're waiting. You know, it probably won't come tomorrow. So Abner will still be able to be active tomorrow. I doubt he is going to pitch tomorrow. But then we'll hear about the suspension. Then he'll be allowed to appeal it and that sort of thing. But the Brewers have to consider, all right, well, are we going to bring Jared Koenig right back up? Are we going to bring up Corbin Martin, who was just acquired off of waivers from the Diamondbacks? There is a couple decisions to be made when it comes to if they're going to get an arm up for Abner Uribe, because keep in mind, you also lose a leverage arm there. J.B. Bukauskas is not throwing yet. They're still keeping him on the 15-day IL for now, but he's feeling like he's getting closer. He's with the team, too, so it's not like he's back in Arizona or anything like that, so he's certainly close as well. But they're going to have to make a decision when Abner goes on the suspended list, to say the least. So that's a little bit of Pat Murphy today. We are going to play some highlights. We're way over the time that we were planning on going today, but highlights coming up next here on ESPN Milwaukee.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
8-2 victory for the crew. Of course, there were extra crazies, but there are definitely highlights. Let's get to it.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game 2 between the Rays and the Brewers after a tough luck 1-0 loss on Monday night. Back for more on Tuesday with their ace, Freddie Peralta, on the mound. He made quick work of the top of the first inning. Only needed 9 pitches to get through the frame. In the bottom of the first, The Brewers started off fast. A leadoff single from Contreras got to second on a walk. A fielder's choice got him to third, and then a sac fly scored him. However, on that fielder's choice, it was Gary Sanchez leaving the game for hustling up the line due to right hamstring tightness, and thus it allowed Tyler Black to come in and be his pinch runner and make his big league debut. You'll hear from him in just a little bit. So it's 1-0 Brewers. In the second inning, Isak Paredes, who's been one of the best hitters on the Rays all season long, hit a shot down the left field line, and the Golden Retriever was out there patrolling left field.
Freddie Dino's again, a swing and a drive into left. This is going to be caught by Joey Weimer with a leaping grab, and he pulled it back in here.
Gosh, love to hear it from Bob Uecker. Joey Weimer robbed a homer, no doubt about it. And, you know, we kind of lose sight of all of that. But what a play from him. Six up and six down to start for Freddie Peralta. In the bottom of the second inning, more offense from the crew. With one out, Jackson Churio, a two-strike single up the middle. He stole second base, and then Bryce Terang was at the plate.
Ready to work and coming back. Line to left center. Going to get a run in. Here comes Churio. Terang, a big turn. He'll hold on a nice piece of hitting.
With two strikes on him, an RBI single in a left-on-left battle. Big day for Bryce Terang's development. So it's now 2-0 Brewers. Weimer hits a little dribbler up the line. That ends up getting by the third baseman, Paredes. It allows the bases to be loaded, and then it was William Contreras at the top of the order.
And now the pitch. Contreras sends one deep enough to right, near the warning track. Here comes Terang to score. Weimer tags and moves to third.
That made it 3-0 Brewers through two innings. Then in the third, Siri would hit his home run. You've already heard plenty about that by this point. He hit a home run. He hit it over 450 feet. Tip my cap. Great swing. But that was the only hit that Freddie had allowed through four innings. Then we go to the bottom of the fifth. Remember we mentioned Tyler Black, or rather bottom of the third, Tyler Black came in as a pinch runner. Now he's finally getting his first AB, and he made it count.
Alexander looks in. Here's the 1-2. Lined out towards center, racing back is Siri, and it is off his glove and up against the wall. Black off to the races. He'll settle for a stand-up double, his first big league hit.
All of these offensive highlights I've played you have come with two strikes. Tyler Black with his family in attendance. What a moment for him. One AB and one hit. He would be left stranded, though, in the frame. Now we fast forward to the fifth inning, like I was saying a moment ago. Big chance here for the Brewers. First batter, Hoskins, was hit by a pitch. Tyler Black singled through the right side. That put two on, and Willie got ahead with a 2-0 count.
This one hit to left center and deep. Way back. The Brewers bullpen in left center. He got it all. It's his fourth of the year.
What a shot. What a moment for Willie. He hasn't had one in a minute as well. He hasn't had one since that Baltimore road trip. Bob Uecker on the call once again. Then everything popped off in the top of the sixth inning. We've talked about that plenty. Freddie got ejected. Pat Murphy got ejected. But Elvis Peguero came in. He allowed a run, but who can blame him? He did get a pair of strikeouts. Then the bullpen would be nails from there. The Brewers would add on, though, in the seventh inning after a two-out walk to Joey Ortiz. Don't those always come back to bite you? Then a 10-pitch walk to Jackson Churio. He's been having some long ABs lately. Bryce Terang really made it hurt.
2-1, ripped into right center field. This is going to plug the gap and roll all the way to the wall for Bryce Terang. Ortiz is in. Churio around third. He will score. It's a two-run double for Terang and the insurance the Brewers were looking for. 8-2 Milwaukee.
Blaine Grindle on the call. You know, after that, there's nothing really to talk about. Yeah, there was a fight, and, you know, we could play and relive it, but we're not going to do that. The Brewers win 8-2. They have leveled the series at a game apiece, and they'll go for the series tomorrow. They snap their three-game losing streak. And, well, despite getting ejected, Freddie Peralta is still the winning pitcher. We'll preview tomorrow, say goodnight, and shout-out to the Bucks down at Fiserv Forum. There will be a Game 6 on Thursday night. They beat the Pacers 115-92. So we'll give you the schedule and the broadcast schedule as well. That's coming up next here on ESPN Milwaukee. All right, we finally reached the end here. Brewers won the game, even though a lot of adversity was thrown their way. But the Brewers won the game, 8-2. Colin Ray will get the ball tomorrow. It'll be a 12-10 first pitch back over on 620 WTMJ. And network coverage will begin at 11:35. Then, no post-game show tomorrow because it's a day game. Thursday is an off day for the Brewers, so perfect for you to watch Game 6 of the first round of the playoffs. And my podcast, Brewers Weekly, normally on Thursday nights. Obviously, we've had to bounce around the last couple weeks. I will just post a web-only version of Brewers Weekly this week. We just won't be live on Thursday night. I'll make sure to post it. I've got a couple of guests lined up for you. Hope you enjoy that. And then Friday is a day game. Friday day game. So listen at your desk. It'll be Brewers and Cubs, the first matchup in the regular season of Craig Counsell against the Brewers. That will be at Wrigley Field. So still got a month until he comes here, but that'll be the first one. It'll be interesting. I will be there as well. There will be no post-game show on Friday, a day game again, but I will be back on 620 WTMJ on Saturday for a post-game show there, and that can be your lead-in to a potential Game 7 for the Bucks and the Pacers on Saturday night. And then I'll be there Sunday as well. So we hope you can join us and make us a part of your weekend. Okay, are we all good now? Has the adrenaline flushed out of our body at this point? I don't feel great. I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. But I think I told the truth. I think I told my truth. And I think there are a few fans that feel the same way. Maybe there are people in the Major League Baseball office that don't feel the same way that I do, but that's okay. Disagreement's okay. Not everything's going to be sunshine and lollipops. Today certainly wasn't. And I just hope that we have a normal game tomorrow. We can start talking about baseball again because that's my favorite thing to do with you, the listener. So thank you to everybody who listened tonight. If this is your first time listening to the show, thanks. Stick around. All of the shows are podcasted at Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts with our friends at 620 WTMJ. Again, Brewers All Access. You'll get all the content you could ever desire there as well from yours truly. All of our post-game shows are archived there. Highlights after wins as well. And then I also have Brewers Weekly on Thursdays. And you can follow me on Twitter at Dom_Cotroneo, Dom_Cotroneo. And it may sound silly, but over on the podcast feed, if you drop a rating, if you drop a review, that really helps more than you realize. And we're also on YouTube as well, so don't forget about our YouTube pages between 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee and on 620 WTMJ. So reviews and comments and ratings, they help more than you think. So we really would appreciate it if this was your first time finding us over here on the flagships. So thank you to everybody who listened tonight. Let's hope for a normal one tomorrow. Can't wait to get back to just talking about baseball with all you big Brewer fans. Fun night in Milwaukee. Both teams win. That's always a good time. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us. All right, and also a huge thanks to Chris Larson for running the board for us tonight. I threw a lot at him today, and we got it done. Great work from you as well. I'm Dom Cotroneo. Whew. We're finally done. Brewers win 8-2. And until next time, keep on swinging.